It's my privilege to introduce our speaker to you today. Charles Lowry has been my friend and mentor for the past 30 years. I served under Charles as a student pastor at Hoffmantown Church in the 1990s. He was the only pastor I ever served under who was willing to stick his neck out for me as I tried to reach teenagers for Jesus. I remember one time he was having lunch with a group of senior citizens, and they were mad because there were teenagers in the auditorium wearing baseball hats. Well, Charles got up from the meal and walked out. They asked him, "Where are you going?" He said, "I'm not eating with you. You care more about what's on a kid's head than what's in a kid's heart." Charles allowed me to be me. He took so many hits for me so that one more teenager could hear about Jesus. God also used Charles to start this church. 26 years ago, Charles was the one who had the vision to plant a new church on the west side of Albuquerque. And for reasons I still don't understand today, he saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. He let me start this church with his full blessing. And then he did everything that he could to make sure that we succeeded. We owe Charles a huge debt of gratitude. So would you give him a great sagebrush welcome right now?
Thank you. Thank you. Always good to come back to Albuquerque, and so proud of Todd and what he was able to do here, how God is blessing. I am a psychologist by training. For many years, worked in the mental health clinic. I left the mental health clinic. One reason I left, I couldn't tell the patients from the staff. The staff seemed to have more problems than the patients. The only difference was the staff had the keys. Other than that, I couldn't tell a whole lot of difference. So I have had a unique life. One week I worked at a Baptist church, and a mental health clinic. Next week I worked at a Baptist church. And people say, "Is that a big adjustment?" I say, "Well, the staff still have the keys." So I want to talk to you about managing your mind. You know, the Bible says that the mind is crucial in living a great life. We have a branch of psychology that's actually the only therapy branch that's been proven to be successful. It's called cognitive psychology, and it's about changing your mind. And the Bible talked about that hundreds of years ago, how after you renew your mind, because your emotions are based on what your brain tells you. It's not the event, it's what you tell yourself the event means. For example, if it rains, the farmers are happy, the golfers are sad. It's the same rain, but it's two totally different emotions because they're telling themselves two totally different things. And so the Bible is very clear about how you have behavioral change. And it's in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. It says it this way: "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed." How do you do that? "By the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You ever had those days where, man, that day was perfect? Man, that was perfect. That's what God has in mind for you, for your life. That you would live a life that you say, "Man, that was just perfect. You know, what happened with my life?" We as Christians many times persevere in the Christian life, but we don't progress in the Christian life to be what God has enabled us to be. It says your spiritual worship. Now that's a little strange, isn't it? That your body would be an instrument of worship. We come to church and we think worship is singing songs. And then, hey, there's nothing wrong with singing songs. You know, that gets your heart focused on God and actually gets you ready to worship. But worship actually happens not when you come in. Worship happens when you go out. Worship is not about raising your hands. It's about reaching out your hands. And so we have to understand that's what God had in mind for us to be true worshipers. If you read the New Testament, it's very interesting that there's no record of Jesus ever singing a song. Isn't that interesting? He was at a group one time that sang a song, and he may have sung that song with them. I don't know. But Jesus was all about out there loving people the way God wanted them to be loved, which is our spiritual worship. So how do we do that? Well, we start with this renewal of the mind. And I want to teach you, how do you last in the Christian life? L-A-S-T. So L is going to stand for learn how to do it. A is going to stand for you got to learn to appreciate what you have in your life, because gratitude stops toxic emotions. So we're going to teach you a little bit about gratitude. And then we're going to teach you about how to serve. And then we're going to tell yourself at the end some things that's really important, because you're really not going to be able to last in this thing we call Earth. So first of all, learn. Learn how life works. Now, life is like a Ponzi scheme. It's always telling you you can have this without that. And you can for a while. But unfortunately, the that shows up, and usually by the time the that shows up, you're already addicted to the this, and your life is in a mess. So let me give you some visuals so you can understand what I'm talking about. Let's just say we're going to have a cookout. Maybe watch a movie on a big screen or something, and a little party, everybody's in a good mood, everybody's laughing, we're going to grill some steaks. So we're laughing, everybody's talking, the grill's getting good and hot, just about to put the steaks on. Friend of ours comes in, let's just call him Bill. We wave at Bill, Bill waves at us, and then Bill puts his hand on the grill and burns himself severely. And we go, good night, did you see that? I mean, why did he do that? You know, they have to take him to hospital. I mean, emergency room, have to save him up, bandage him up. You call and check on him, and a couple of weeks, they go be able to take the bandage off and still got to put that ointment on him. After about a month, he's all well again. And we're going to have another cookout, another maybe grill some more steaks, and everybody's in a good mood, everybody's laughing, and Bill walks in. And you can see it a lot of tense up a little bit. I mean, he's by the grill. I mean, you know what he did last time, you know, so what do you say? I mean, you say, you know, get away from that grill, Bill, you know, what do you do? Well, we're Christians, so we usually don't do anything. We'd rather, you know, look good than tell the truth, right? So all of a sudden, Bill walks over to the grill and burns himself again. Now, you and I just standing around talking, it may go something like this. That Bill, he's a nice guy. My kids and his kids on the same soccer team, I see him just about every Saturday. And you know, he seems normal in just about every area of his life. But when it comes to grills, that Bill's nuts, isn't he? You see that? He's nuts. Let me tell you about your life. Just about every area, you're pretty normal. I mean, you're clothed in your right mind pretty much tonight. You're pretty normal. But I guarantee you, there's one area of your life that if we could blow it up and look at it, we would say, that's nuts. Why do you get mad at that? Why do you get anxious about that? Why do you smoke that? Or why do you drink that? I guarantee you, there's one area of your life that's keeping you from having that perfect life, that great life that God had in mind when he created you. Let's just show it how it works, too, with another visual illustration. This pastor, he was a pastor of the local church, and he kind of wanted to make friends with a neighborhood kid, and the neighborhood kid had a lawnmower for sale, just a used lawnmower, but not expensive, about $65. So the pastor bought it from the kid. But every morning, the pastor tried to start it, and just couldn't start the lawnmower. I mean, just get it every day, get more and more frustrated. About the fourth day, he's out there, and he sees the kid. Kid, come here. Look, kid, you sold me this lawnmower. It does not start. You should have not done that. That's not fair. You should, and boy, just give it to the kid. Whoa, hey, Pastor, now, look. I should not have sold you that lawnmower, because I knew about this lawnmower, and I knew you were the pastor, and I knew I should not sell it to the pastor, but I did. I admit that, because this lawnmower, it's just weird, but it never starts unless you cuss. That's just what it does, and I knew you're the pastor, and I knew you didn't cuss, but I just needed the money, and I'm sorry. I just sold you the lawnmower, and the pastor says, well, young man, I am the pastor. And I do not cuss. Matter of fact, it's been so long since I cussed, I don't even remember how. He says, pull it about 3 or 4 more times, it'll all come back. Well, see, that's the way it is with your habits. You say you're not gonna do it or get mad at it or do this or do that, and your mate pulls on you, or your kids pull on you, or your boss pulls on you, and it all comes back. And you end up not living the life that God had in mind when he created you. So L stands for learn how the world works. Now, how does the world work? Well, you're born into the world, and it's a sinful world. God will never redeem this world. There's something wrong with everything, and there's something wrong with you. Let's just call your body your Adam suit. You can call it your Eve suit if you're a female. And you get this suit when you come into the world. And this suit can never be redeemed. You will never get your suit good enough to get to heaven. It won't happen. God's got to kill your Adam suit to get you into heaven. You understand that? But the more you can redeem it, the better life you're going to have down here. Now, you can never totally redeem it. That's why Jesus came and lived the life you can never live and conquered death so you could get into God's heaven, although you couldn't redeem the Adam suit. He's just got to kill it so you can get in there. You're not your body. You're a soul. But you have to use your body while you're down here on earth. And that body is what gets you into trouble because your Adam suit does not want to act better. It wants to feel better. It does not want a plan. It wants a pill. It does not want education. It wants medication. That's my Adam suit. That's your Adam suit. You say, well, Charles, that's a little tough. I mean, we're here on Saturday night. I mean, we're good Christians. I mean, we're some of the best around. It doesn't matter. You still got an Adam suit. Remember the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest Christian to ever live? You know what he said about his Adam suit? Read it in Romans. You know what he said? The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing those. That's not a teenager. That's the greatest Christian that ever lived. So what does that mean for you? That means you're in deep trouble. That's what that means. See? That means it's a constant battle with this Adam suit. And it's constant to do that. And the world is a Ponzi scheme. The world's member says you can have this without that, but you can for a while, but that shows up. Now see, if consequences happened immediately, I wouldn't have to go around the country telling people how to live. You'd figure it out if it happened immediately. We were in Mobile, Alabama, just about to close the curtain on the hotel when the hot light came on, Krispy Kreme, you know, just like a sign from God, just hot, you know. So I told my wife, look, honey, Krispy Kreme, a sign from God. So I'm going to give you a word. The word is rationalize. It means rational lies. It's things you tell yourself to get what you want. It's your heart. See, the world is upon you. The world says follow your heart. You can't follow your heart. If I followed my heart, I'd weigh 400 pounds. You can't follow your heart. Your heart, the Bible says, is deceitful above all things. You have to talk to your heart. You have to tell your heart what to do because it just wants to feel better. And I got one of those just like you have. So I said, let's get some exercise and walk down the Krispy Kreme. And that's a rational lie in order to get what I want. And then when we get down to the Krispy Kreme, guess what? They're cheaper by the dozen. Another rational lie. God wants us to save money, and so we need to get a dozen. It's the best deal. And that's when I realized I could eat 8 Krispy Kreme donuts by myself. You know, it's just hot fried sugar. It melts in your mouth. And guess what? No consequences. I didn't have to change my britches. I didn't have to do any. I mean, just pure pleasure. And that's the way life is. There's no immediate consequences. The problem is there's long-term consequences. You see, if you continue to do that, you're going to get on a scale that's going to say, one at a time, please. I mean, you're going to get big, you know. Now, if things happened immediately, I wouldn't have to go around the country telling people how to live if things happened immediately. I mean, if you took a bite of Krispy Kreme and fat went bloop, you'd go, good night. Did you see that fat jump out of that donut? That's a powerful donut. I'm not eating any more of those donuts. Doesn't work that way, does it? At first you have it, then it has you. Matter of fact, in Proverbs it says, like a dog returns to its vomit. You don't want to do it, but you end up doing it. So you have to learn to control this Adam suit. Now, L stands for learn. A stands for appreciate what you have. Appreciate what you have. Remember, Told you at the beginning, gratitude stops toxic emotions. You have to learn to be a person of gratitude. What does that mean? That means you trust God that what he gives you is what you need. That's what you need. And you believe in God's power to take whatever you have that's not with you or for you, he can take and use it to be for you. The cross is the biggest plus sign in your life. The cross says this, that the worst thing anybody could do to somebody, crucifixion, became the best thing for everybody. That's God's power. And so we have to then decide that we're going to appreciate what we have. Now remember, the world's a Ponzi scheme. The world wants you to want what you cannot have, and that's what your Adam suit does. As a rule, man's fool. When he's hot, he wants it cool. When he's cool, he wants it hot. Always wanting what's not. As a rule, man's a fool. You know that, don't you? It's the way we are. And so you're always wanting what you can't have. And it happens from very early in life. I took my daughter Brianne to Wet n' Wild Water Park. It's a big water park, all big asphalt, you know, parking lot in the fall of the year. She wasn't a car in the parking lot. Got out that bicycle and says, Brianne, you're going to be a bicycle rider today. Look at all that asphalt. You're going to feel the wind against your face. I had to ride on sand and rock, but you're going on asphalt. You're going to feel wind. You're going to be a big bike rider. I tried to get her on the bicycle. She said, Dad, I don't want to ride that bicycle. I said, why? There's a pole out there. I don't want to hit that pole. I said, it's just a pole. Look at all the asphalt. Get on the bicycle. Get on the bicycle. Daddy, I don't want to hit the pole. You're not at the pole. Look at all this asphalt. I start pushing. You go. Daddy, I'm going to hit the pole. You're not going to hit the pole. Go. And she heads straight for the pole. Pow! Mutilates that pole. By the time I got there, tears in her eyes, lips stuck out. I told you I was going to hit the pole. I know, Brianne, because you focused on the pole. And that's what your Adam suit does. It's a pole hitter. That's what we do. The first church relocation committee had a chance to go to the promised land. But 10 came back not with grapes, with gripes, not going poles, big poles, giants. We're not going to the promised land. Only two came back with grapes. Look what God said is true. Look how good this is. And they said, oh yeah, that's proof, all right. Only big giants could grow big grapes. We're not going. And you know, you still can't believe it, that God's people chose not to go to the promised land, but to live the rest of their life in pitiful land, griping and complaining. But my friend, that's how most of us live. Griping and complaining and realizing and not being appreciative. You say, well, how can you be appreciative? Well, you got to have God's power. You got to understand that if he can do that with a cross, the cross is the biggest plus sign in your life. And the cross means personally in your life, whatever the world does to you, it won't be crucifixion, but it can be bad. Whatever the world does to you, God can take it and use for you. Give God the power and you will pity other people. Give people the power and you will pity yourself. I've been around other people all my life who pity themselves. They're always talking about, you know, so-and-so did this to me at work and said this did this and my neighbor does this. Who did this? And my kids do that. I mean, just over and over again, just pitiful people, you know. They don't understand that God's the one with the power. No matter what they do to you, God can take and use for you. I used to have a children's series and how to raise kids. And I did it actually, it's actually a really good best-selling video series because I did it before my three girls became teenagers, you know. I had three theories and no kids, literally. And then I had kids and no theories. So I did it before I realized I didn't know anything. But a lady saw this series. And in that series, I described what it's like for a kid to go to the grocery store. Now, just go to the grocery store and watch mothers and their little kids. You take this kid and you stick him in this iron seat, boom, and you say to this kid, I'm going to roll you up and down the aisle, kid. You're going to see all the wonderful things God ever made, kid. But kid, you're not going to get any of this stuff, kid. But me, I'm going to get anything I want, kid, and I'm going to make you sit on everything I get. It's going to be a great day. Well, you can imagine kids don't do well in grocery stores. Lady wrote me this letter and said, that's exactly what I did. I had 30 minutes to get groceries. I told this kid, you sit down and be quiet. I got 30 minutes and I don't want to hear a word out of you. and she just started pushing him up down the aisle, just piling stuff on. That little kid just seeing all that stuff, you know, just coming down. Said he got about the third aisle, he spotted some chocolate chip cookies. He said, "Mama, you think I could get some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "Sit down, sit down." Got a few aisles over. "Remember those cookies?" "Sit, we're almost done." Said they got to the last aisle. "Maybe one cookie." "No, sit." Said they got to the checkout. There's a long line at checkout. And she looked down and she saw something, but she didn't know what. But she said she saw his eyes light up. She knew something was coming. And I've never seen the boy, but in your mind, you got to see him as something. I see him as like a three-year-old boy in yellow feety pajamas. That's just how I see him in my mind. She said, all of a sudden, this little boy stood straight up in his iron seat, put his hands toward heaven and said, "In the name of Jesus, give me some chocolate chip cookies." And she said the whole place erupted in applause. They just started clapping. And she said they just kept clapping. I didn't know what to do. I ran and got the chocolate chip cookies. There's power just in the name of Jesus. You will not be able to live a great life unless you have that power. You see, you know what to do. It's not information. Yeah, I've worked with drug addicts. They knew they needed to get off drugs. I've worked with alcoholics. They knew they can't drink. I've worked with married couples. They knew they can't do this, but they do it anyway. Why? Because they don't have the power not to. Jesus gives you the power to save you from yourself. Now, how does that power come? And if you can understand this principle, it could just about change your life, I promise you. How do you get God's power? It's very clear in the Bible. Acts chapter 2. Jesus is going back to heaven. He's ascending. He's going to prepare us a home, a place. And before he does, he talks to his disciples and he tells them he's going to give them the Holy Spirit, and that is going to be the power in their life. But here's the deal. You get this power to do what? To do what you want to do, to make a lot of money, to be successful. He gives you this power in order to be his witness. That's where the power comes. Some of you don't have power in your life because your primary motivation is to make money. Now, if you make a difference, you'll make a dollar eventually. It'll come. Nothing against money. But if your primary mission in life, whatever you do, however you dress, however you look, if your primary mission in life is to be a witness for Jesus Christ, you will have unbelievable power. You will be able to do things nobody ever thought you could do. Nobody ever thought this thing would be this years ago. But our total goal was to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And now you see what happens. Why? Because that's where the power is. Most of you know, well, this kid in school, his mother told him this. He said, "I want you to go to Sunday school." And the little boy says, "Well, why?" "Well, I want them to teach you how to be good." He says, "I already know how to be gooder than I am." You see, you already know how to be gooder than you are. You just don't have the power to do it. And so you need power in this world. S stands for serve. You got to learn to serve out of who you are, not trying to impress people with what you do. And maybe another time we'll come back and we'll look at that, because I want to spend some time here at the end to make sure I get to this. The next thing, L-A-S-T. T stands for tell yourself why you're here. Tell yourself why you're here. You say, "Well, why am I here?" Well, I just told you. You're here to be his witness. How do you be a witness? You decide to bless instead of blast. You see, it's all started back in the Old Testament. And by the way, learn from the Old Testament, but live in the New Testament. That'll keep you psychologically healthy, okay? Don't live out of the Old Testament. But in the Old Testament, God called out a man named Abraham. And he said to Abraham, "Abraham, I'm going to bless you." And he blessed him unbelievably. Financially, with every way. Blessed him all different ways. But here's the reason. Here's where the power is. The reason I'm blessing you is because I want you to be a blessing to the entire world. Through you, Abraham, I'm going to bless the entire world. And because of Jesus Christ, We're all in that covenant with Abraham. So while you're here to bless. That's why you're here. Now, our tendency in an Adam suit is to blast. And that's why you got to continually look to Jesus for the power to be his ambassador. Let's simplify it. There's just two powers in this world. There's the power of God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And they've chosen to change the world by blessing the world. This power, God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, has chosen to change the world by blessing the world. Even at Calvary, even with the crucifix, even at Calvary, when they could have blasted the world for what they did to Jesus, they could have blasted the world, but they chose to bless the world. There's another power, the power of Satan, the evil one, the accuser, the liar. And at every opportunity, he will blast. He will do everything he can to bring down people, to bring down organizations. His whole goal is to blast. This person's whole goal, this power, is to bless. I like country music. Some of it's pitiful. I mean, some of it's just pitiful. What's the one? My wife went off, my best friend, and I miss him. You know, that's not good. You know, that's... One says, Papa loved Mama, Mama loved men, Mama's in the graveyard, Papa's in the pen. I mean, that's not good. And there's another country song out there. It's not a good song either, come to think of it. But it's got a great title. You know what the title is? Who's Your Daddy? Who's Your Daddy? You see, if I could watch you out there, not in here, you're all blessed in here probably, out there, if I could see whether you bless or whether you blast, I would know who's your daddy. Because our Father has chosen to change the world by blessing the world. And he's chosen to bless the world through me and through you. Now, here's the problem. I've told you how to last. I've told you that you need to learn how the way the world works, to learn to appreciate, be happy. You say, Charles, I don't have anything to appreciate. Just be thankful for your nose. I mean, just be thankful for your nose. I mean, just be glad God put your nose on right side up. I mean, what if God put your nose on upside down? Every time you sneeze, you blow your thankless head off, and every time it rained, you drown. So just be thankful for your nose. I've told you, you serve, you bless people, you get the power. Tell you why you're here, you're blessed, to bless instead of blast. So that word spells out last. I've convinced you that you can last. But the bottom line is, you can't. You're not gonna last, you're gonna die. I mean, death runs in my family, I think it runs in yours. You're gonna die. Pretty much come in this world, no teeth, no hair, no bladder control. That's pretty much how you're going out. You're going to die. You see, let me tell you how life works. At first, you just think this body, you exercise it, you take care of it, and you think, man, I want to get this body to live forever. Man, good. And then you hit a certain age and you realize, I don't want this body to live forever. This body hurts. I mean, I could have a dream at night and injure myself in a dream, you know. It just starts to hurt. I mean, and all of a sudden, you know, those six-pack abs become 2 liters. It's like, you know, you get out of bed and you think your waterbed leaks and you realize, I don't even have a waterbed. You put your pants on backwards and they fit better. You think, what is the deal here? You're not going to last. You're just not. You know, you're going to die. You come in this world, no teeth, no hair, no bladder control. Remember, that's how you're going out. Now, so here's what you got to figure out. How do I keep on living without this body? And remember, you can't ever redeem this body. God's got to kill it to get you into heaven. I am a preacher's kid. And I can remember on Sunday nights, it was pretty funny because sometimes the men would sing a chorus and the women would sing a chorus. And I thought it was pretty funny one Sunday night because the women sang, "We'll get a new body, we'll get a new body." And the men sang, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." Jesus made it possible because he came into this world and lived a life you could never live. Perfect. And conquered death because he wanted you and his forever family. One day, you'll get a new body. Praise the Lord. But until then, God wants you to take what he has. I can't believe I just dropped that. But see, I can bend over still. That's good. What God wants you to do is to decide that I am going to have the power to be his ambassador. And he wants to bless you with a life that's pretty close to perfect. And then one day, he wants to welcome you home in his forever family. If you've never trusted Christ, tonight would be the night to do that. Some of you have trusted Christ, but your life is not even close to perfect what God had in mind when he created you. And if we could blow up your life and look at that one area that's hurting your marriage, it's hurting your job, it's hurting your relationship with your kids, and God says, look, let's change that. Let's put this off. And that's what the Bible talks about. You got to put something else on. You put this off and put that back on. And you'll have the power to do it if you decide, I am going to be an ambassador for Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. Lord, thank you that you're such a good God. And Lord, thank you that you're our God because of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's someone here that's never trusted you as Savior, give them the faith to believe that you love them enough that you came and lived a life that they could never live, a perfect life, and that you then conquered death because you wanted them and your forever family. Give them the faith to believe. And Father, there's other people here. They're just not having the life you had in mind for them. And they need to decide, I'm going to get the power by being an ambassador for Christ. And I'm going to put this off and I'm going to put that on and it's going to help my marriage. Or I'm going to put this off and put this on and it's going to help me with my kids. They have decided to follow Jesus, not only to heaven, but down here on this earth. And Lord, we thank you for that supernatural power. And we thank you that you loved us enough to one day give us a new body. Praise the Lord. Amen.